Scientology. Now, you know, you hear that word, you usually think of John Travolta, Tom Cruise, because they're spokespeople for Scientology. They're involved with it. A lot
Kirstie
of Hollywood
Alley.
Actors are. Yeah, Kirstie Alley. Janet Reitman joins us, an acclaimed journalist and author of Inside Scientology, the story of America's most secretive religion. Janet, thank you for being a part of the show today.
Thank you.
What is inside America's most secretive religion?
I think a lot of things you might not expect.
Yeah.
One thing is it's not all about celebrities. It's about a lot of quite normal people who got involved with Scientology over the course of decades,
starting back in the 50s. What attracts them?
You know, I think that the Church of Scientology had, because I don't know today what attracts them, but back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they had a great sales pitch, and they tailored it every sort of 10 years to meet what the zeitgeist was at the time. So beginning in the 50s, it was about presenting an alternative to psychotherapy, which was too expensive for a lot of people back then. Then they appealed on a sort of spiritual quest level for the flower children of the 60s. And in the 70s and 80s, they became very much focused on self-help, much very traditional self-help, actually, and presented themselves as almost a professional development, personal enrichment. And today they present themselves as more of a religion. I mean, they try to present themselves as a mainstream religion, not as successfully, I think, as they did in the past.
Janet, what I've heard, and I'm very pedestrian on Scientology, but that it basically starts out as a support system. They want to help you in any way you need help, in any way you need guidance. But then once you're in and you have all of that, you can't get out without also being cut off from the support system that was set up.
Yeah, that's extremely astute. Very good point. They are a support system, and at a certain point that you're in, it becomes less, according to people I've interviewed, it becomes a little bit less about you and more about the group, more about the overall support system.
Right.
So, and a different mindset takes over, and it depends on the level of involvement you're at where that really can kind of take over your life. But what happens to people that want to leave once they've become sort of that involved is that, yes, their entire world by this point is oriented around Scientology, and that would include their professional life, that would include all of their friends. They will have been encouraged to or just done this on their own, what they call disconnect, or just sort of separate themselves from anyone who does not approve of their involvement in Scientology, who's overtly critical of Scientology. So yeah, leaving Scientology at that point would be basically like leaving everything that, you know, everything that matters to you in your life.
What is the basic belief system of Scientology? What is it about?
It's in certain ways a very esoteric religion, and they envision themselves as eternal beings that have, you know, spirits that have lived for trillions of years will continue to live. And it's not exactly reincarnation that they believe in, although they do believe that they will come back and back and back and back. But they believe that you have essentially scars, sort of psychological or psychic scars, and that they offer these techniques called auditing that can eradicate those scars, get rid of them. And by practicing them and getting rid of more and more and more, you will become more and more spiritually enlightened and ultimately reach a state of what they call total freedom, total spiritual freedom,
so,
and become a sort of superior being.
So it's kind of like a karma cleanse in a way?
Yeah, I'm hesitant to sort of equate it too much with Buddhism, because people do, and it definitely has Buddhist elements. And the idea of karma is very much a part of it. I mean, not by the name karma, mm-hmm. but it's drawn from many, many, many different ideas. It's an interesting compilation of a lot of different ideas. But yeah, it definitely has a very strong karmic element to it.
Well, yeah, like if you leave Buddhism, they don't give you all your scars back and cut you off.
You get them in the mail about
a
week later.
They present people with a bill, actually, if they leave, especially people who have been who've worked for the church. This is only really with people who have worked for the church and have thus gotten a lot of their counseling for free. If you leave, they will present you with what they call a freeloader bill.
What is it now? How much is that bill? How much is that going to run me?
I've seen them ranging from $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 all the way up to like $200,000 and more.
Oh, well, the check's in the mail. What are they going to come out and possess you if you don't? I mean, well, seriously, I mean, you know, it's hard to imagine you leaving a religious order and then sending you a bill, for goodness sakes.
It is, isn't it?
Well, all right, why did Tom Cruise get in an argument with Matt Lauer about psychiatry?
Tom Cruise was presenting a very strident view, which is the way that Scientologists who are that passionate about their beliefs behave. He was actually reflecting something that Scientologists viewed as extremely normal and kind of wonderful. They did not see that as arguing. They saw that as he was presenting his viewpoint, and he was doing it persuasively. It's very interesting to me that almost every Scientologist or ex-Scientologist that I interviewed told me that that they all thought, and that everybody they knew in Scientology thought, that Matt Lauer, the Tom Cruise performance, whether it was on Oprah or Matt Lauer or anywhere, was like fantastic. That they had no understanding of how he was viewed in the general public.
Janet, it's first of all, you've got some great creds here that you're a contributing editor to the Rolling Stone.
Thank you.
Love the Rolling Stone. It says, what I'm reading about your writing of the book, it says it examines the climate of intense, crippling, largely uncensored control at the heart of an organization, costing members their families, their life savings, their freedom, and in one unforgettable account, their lives. So this is not a love story.
No, it's not a love story. It tries to be a fair story. I think I did a fair job. I tried to do a fair job very hard, but no, it is a true story.
You could always just tell them you were presenting your ideas. See how that goes. You hear stories about about this, and I don't know whether they're true or not. You hear rumors and such, but have you found a horse head in your bed?
I have not found a horse head in my bed, no.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
a good sign.
No, yeah, horse head in my bed.
That's a positive.
No snake in my mailbox.
Well, has anybody said anything to you saying you've misrepresented us, this isn't fair, and you've done a hit job on us?
You know, I haven't. Look, the book literally was released today.
Yeah.
So
So the night is young.
I have not received communication from people. When I wrote the magazine article, I did receive emails from a number of Scientologists who thought that I didn't represent them fairly. Mm. And, you know, I disagreed, but that was sort of par for the course.
It seems, Janet, at least everybody that I've ever spoken with who is involved in Scientology, those still in the organization seem to be happy with it. Those who have left describe everything we have spoken about,
mm-hmm.
and will explain, you know, that they are ostracized and completely cut off.
Yeah, it's very tragic to meet these people that have spent, you know, 30 years of their life in the church. They've spent all of their money and their parents' money, any life savings they had, any inheritances they had. And they've lost their children, they've lost their spouses, they've lost all their friends, they've lost their business partners, they've lost basically everything. I met a man, one of the characters in my book was a guy named Larry Brennan, who was a legal official with the church. And he had a very productive life with the church. And when he left, he went into business with some people that were still Scientologists, because he was sort of quietly... he sort of quietly still believed in it, but wasn't as much associated with the church. But once he really formally left, they cut him off, and he had to go work. He worked at the post office. I mean, mm-hmm. he had a totally different kind of a life.
All right, Janet, listen, we're up against a wall on time. I sure appreciate you coming on. Janet Reitman, the book is called Inside Scientology, The Story of America's Most Secretive Religion. Janet, thanks for coming on. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Janet.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.